I'm very excited about this message today, so I want you to get your phones out. And you're going, Pastor Bonnie, are your phones out? Yes, I want you to get your phones out. I want you to go to Google. If you can get Google. If not, that's okay. And what I want you to do is I want you to put up Casey, Illinois, C-A-S-E-Y, Casey, Illinois, wind chime. How many of you are getting into Google? Anybody? Mary, no? Okay, if you do have it and you find the picture, I would like you to show your neighbor in front of you or back of you or whatever. Did you find the picture? Yep, Casey wind chime. It's the world's largest wind chime. Now, Eleanor, Allison, could you kind of share your picture with others, kind of walk around and show them, if some of you? Russ, do you have a picture?
I don't.
You don't? Okay. How about Nancy? Do you have one? Do you have the picture, Nancy? I want you to all see the picture. And okay. Tim, do you have it?
Yeah.
Okay, can you show it to Bruce? Yeah, I want you. You got to see this. And show Veronica and Dave back there. Let them see it too. I want you to see that picture. I could have made a copy, but I want you to pull it up because I want you to. You guys, Dave and Veronica, you guys got like a computer, laptop? Oh, you saw Genesis. Okay. Okay. All right. So everybody's seen the picture, right? Okay. So I want to share a little bit about this, and you're going, well, what's this got to do with the message that Mary read this morning? Well, I'm getting there, so just bear with me. So that particular wind chime is actually 54 feet tall. Okay, it's 54 feet tall. And now look at it now, because think of this. It certainly doesn't look like it, but it says it's well over 16,000 pounds. I cannot believe that it would be weigh that much. Okay, I put almost about 17,000 pounds. It doesn't look like it would be that much. But also the reason why I wanted you to look at the picture is because there's a symbol. There's two symbols on that chime. One is what? Anybody know what that is? There's two. Star of David. What's the other one? The fish. Okay. So the thing is that these symbols are what? They're to remind us of the importance of our faith. Okay, so that chime is there to minister to people through what? Through their eyes and what other way? Through your ears. Okay, so there's two senses. When you look at that picture, there's two senses that you, or even touch, you know, you could use your touch. That's another sense that you use of your five senses. Those are the two or three that you can use to experience that chime. Am I right? Okay. Now, like Allison said, it is also in the World Book, Genesis World Book of Records, as the largest wind chime. Okay? Now, did you also know that wind chimes have also appeared on the list of the most annoying thing about our neighbor's list? Okay? It's right up there with the neighbor's dog barking, okay? And it's also right up there with unsupervised kids that are in the neighborhood or, you know, that, you know, they're, you know, screaming, yelling or, you know, whatever, you know. And then it's
the
locust, yeah. Or it's right up there with messy yards. Your neighbor next door has got a messy yard or they don't mow their yard or whatever. And then it's always, this one to me, it was funny, but it's true, probably, nosy neighbors. That's right up there with that list. But also, the fact that, can you imagine that wind chimes is right up there in that list of things? Okay, now, everyone, of course, has their own opinion on wind chimes, right? Okay, so I want to ask you, who likes them? Who likes wind chimes? Yes! Good. I said to Mary, they're either going to hate me when they're done with this message or they're going to love me. Because believe me, we're going to go somewhere with this morning. So again, some like them, some find them very annoying. So again, I've asked you for your hands, whether you like them or don't like them. So this morning, we have this chime. This is more of a bell chime. Now this one, if you've gone by my house, you'll notice that I have a rock garden over by close to the road. This sits there. I don't want to give anybody a headache. This one sits away from my house. And when it blows, I can hear it very, very faintly. But it is so calming. It just got that real slight... It's real light, though, from a distance, okay? I'm showing you these for a reason, so just bear with me. Okay. Did you like that one? Anybody like... That one would probably...
I said if it's by your road, it might be missing.
Oh! I'll have to put it under lock and key. Okay. All right. I'm not going to do that one till last. And the reason why I'm showing you different ones is because we all know that chimes come in different shapes and different sizes, different... They're made different way. In fact, I saw the other day for kids, they show making chimes, and you can use anything from that's in your house. You know, use chimes to make chimes. So these are wooden chimes. How many of you like these? So let me ask you this though. What's the difference between this chime and this chime? This one, which one's softer? This one's softer. This one's more. Okay. So it's got more of a, not a calmer sound. Where this one does, right? Yeah, there you go.
I was thinking the last one will be for breakfast.
Yeah. So, okay. So, I don't know whether, I think I can put it there. I don't know. We'll see if it stays. Okay. Now, the next one, and the thing is that some of these, like I said, are different. And I brought some extras because the kids are going to see these today. This is going to be part of their lesson, too. Thank goodness they had them for a buck at Dollar General. But the kids will all get to pick one of these. They're all different shapes and size. I brought one for Carter in here just in case he came today. But, again, they're made from different types of material, right? So let's see if make sure I can pick this up in the right way. This one, doesn't it look like it could be glass? Oh, that one came out. So, yeah. Well, anyway, you get the idea, right? But it looks like glass, but it's actually a hard plastic, okay? So it looks like we'll have to fix that one. But I just wanted to show you all these different kinds, but I want to show you the last one here this morning. And then we're going to move on. This is the one that hangs... Actually, the story behind this one is, my husband was a teacher, and funds were always tight, always tight. And one day he decided to take me to Crafters Village before it burnt down. And we went in there, and we were just looking around, not intending to buy anything. And we went by these wind chimes. There was a group of them there, and I go, oh, wind chimes. I love wind chimes. I've never had a wind chime. And, I mean, they were expensive. Like $30 to me back then was expensive for wind chimes. And he said, I'm getting you a wind chime. And, I mean, the fact that we couldn't really afford a wind chime and he still got me the wind chime just meant so much to me. And so this is the one that I have hanging on my patio or my deck. And I have to put a rubber band around it sometimes because... It's in the key of D, they say.
Key of what?
D. So, anyway, I wanted to share these for a reason. Now, every one of them, let's see, is there another one in here? Oh, no, okay. I'm going to let those sit there because I want you to think about what I want to share this morning. So, which one of those makes you feel calm and brings a sense of relaxation? Is it the tinier ones? Is it the wooden one? Is it you know, it's probably not the bell one, the one that gongs. But the thing is this, which one of those, and for what reason, does it, you know, maybe it brings back memories. Maybe it just allows you to get a cup of coffee and you just want to sit there and listen to the time and relax and reflect on things. Just kind of relax. But the thing is this, no matter whether it's a bamboo, whether it's wooden, whether it's metal, whether it's glass, the thing is, all these chimes have a message. And what is that message? That message is to bring us comfort, to relax us, to, you know, there's a message that the chime wants to give us, okay? And the thing is this, I got to read this because I want it to make sure you understand what I'm saying, where I'm going with this. It's how the chimes are shared, how the chimes share that message, okay? And it makes a big difference because it's how those chimes are shared with you. It's also going to be the way you receive those chimes, the melody, the tone, the, you know, like, for, here's a good example. If I had those chimes out here in my kitchen, right next to my kitchen, and there's just a nice little breeze going, I can just sit there and listen to them and really enjoy it. But when there's a big wind going on, one night I had to get up at 2:00 in the morning and go out there and put a rubber band around them because it was keeping me awake because it was, you know, annoying. So it's important to realize that when you listen to chimes, they have a message and how they deliver that message to you. And sometimes, you know, chimes don't have any control over the wind, right? So they're going to reflect what's going on around them. Okay? So you say, well, I think she's going this direction with it. Well, let's see. When we have things like these chimes, we have a positive, when we get them, we have a positive motive behind it. But again, it's their message. How do we receive that message? Is it annoying to us? Does it bring comfort? Does it relax us? So, in the same way, we, as the body of Christ, have a message. It says what? In all the Gospels, it talks about it. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it talks about being going on the Great Commission, to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what we have all been told to do. Also in the book of Acts, it tells us the same thing, that we are all commissioned to go and spread the good news of the gospel. But, as Mary read earlier, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. So when we go about ministering or sharing the good news of the gospel, when we share the, have that drive for the Great Commission that God's called us to, the first ingredient that we have to have is love. In order to share the gospel, we have to have love. Remember when Jesus ministered to the children, and, you know, the disciples wanted to, you know, tell them to settle down and whatever. And Jesus says, no. Let them come on to me. Let them. I want to minister to them. I want to love them. I want to reassure them. What he was trying to do was what? He was building up a relationship with those children so that he could show them his love. And that's the thing that we have to realize is when we share the gospel, we got to step back and say, okay, what's my motive here? Is my motive, I've made that commitment when I came to Christ that every week I'm going to try to bring one person to the Lord. Is that your motive for sharing the gospel? No, it should not be your motive for sharing the gospel. It's a good motivator in some respects. But your motivation should be what? Love. Love should be the thing that the whole key on stepping out and sharing the gospel. So what this scripture is saying is that without love, I love it. It says, so the Bible is comparing someone without love to a clanging cymbal and a resounding gong. That's what the scripture's saying. If you share the gospel and you don't do it out of love, that's what you sound like. You sound like a gong, a resounding or a clanging cymbal. So this morning we're just going to talk about the do's and don'ts on how you share the gospel. So first off, don't take it personally if they don't trust Christ in that moment. Don't take it personally when they say, I'm an atheist, or whatever, or I don't believe in what you say. Don't take it personal. Just back off. God will give you another opportunity. And if not you, he'll give another individual that opportunity to minister to that person. So just know that, you didn't fail. You made the attempt. So don't take it personal if they don't receive it, okay? Next one, don't assume that person has ever opened a Bible. Some people, we might be the only Jesus that some will ever see. We've heard that. That's a song. But some people have never opened this book. So they don't have a clue what's in here. When you talk about the Gospels, they're like, huh, well, what's that? Or Matthew, the book of Matthew. Some people think it's one long book. They don't realize it's 66 books in one big, correlation all together. So they don't realize that. So don't assume that they have opened that book up. Number two, or three, don't use terms that a non-believer may not understand. You know, some people can relate to God. Some people can relate to Jesus as his son. Or they might say he's a prophet. But some people, when you say Holy Spirit, they're going, they think it's a little off. But why? It's not, they just don't know. They don't know that there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we think with all the different ways that we can get our phones out and learn things just at the, at the touch of a few buttons, and we can pull up anything and everything and learn so much. And yet there's people out there that said, God? Who's God? Or Jesus? There's a Jesus? What did Jesus do? You'd be surprised at how many, especially young people, they don't know that. They don't know it. So don't, use words that you know that's probably going to go over their head. Another thing, when we're sharing the gospel, allow them to ask questions. And you say, well, sometimes I'm afraid if they ask questions, I don't know them. And that's okay. And then you just say, you know what? I don't know the answer to that. How about if we look it up together? I mean, we got Google. Let's look it up, Google, and then it'll tell us what scripture to go to. You know? That's a way to just say, I don't know, but I want to know. And it's telling them that you're concerned about that question. Or you might say, you know what? I don't know it now, but I'll get back to you. And when you do that, that's just another way or a door that you are preparing to open up down the road that you can minister to them again. Because now you've went and you've searched the answer to the question that they had, and you can come back and you've shown them that when you've come back that you've taken the time because you love them and you're concerned about them and that you really want to make a difference in their lives. Okay, so, and then another one, don't argue when they disagree with a certain scripture. The best thing to do in a situation like that is get away from that particular scripture and go to a scripture. Let's say you've built up this relationship and this individual you have found is dealing with financial issues, okay? And so instead of going to the scripture that individual wants to argue with you about, just leave that one on the shelf. And go to a scripture that helps them relate to it because of their finances. God supplies all of our needs according to his riches and his glory through Christ Jesus. And they're like, what's that mean? And then you can elaborate. So you're getting away from a scripture that would cause some argument, and you're going to a scripture that they can connect to, relate, and possibly apply to the situation they're going through. And again, what are you doing? You're walking out and showing God's love. You're walking that love out. You're expressing God's love, showing them your concern for them. So, another one, don't overwhelm them with a lot of scripture. Because when you keep throwing, to me, nothing irritates me more when somebody will sit there and throw one scripture after another, after another, after another. And what that's telling me is when I receive that, it's like they're either showing off because they know so much, but you know what? You can have all the head knowledge you want when it comes to scripture, but if it ain't in here, forget it. I don't want it. I don't want it if it's up here. It's got to come from here. So that, to me, rubs me wrong. When people will just rattle off one scripture after another, it's like they're showing off what they know. I don't want to know what you know. I want to know if you're walking out what you know. Are you walking it out? Are you living it? So, again, it's not important to know how many scriptures, but are you walking those scriptures out? So, when presenting the gospel, we must go with this in mind. And I just found this the other day. I don't know whether Mary put it on or Lois. I saw this the other day on Facebook, and some of you might have heard this one too, but it was on Facebook, and the Lord brought it back to my remembrance as I was doing this message. It says this, which, you know, brings me to the fact that if you're doing this to show off, you know, like, remember how the disciples, who's going to be the greater of all of us 12, Jesus? Who's going to be the greater one in heaven? Well, he fixed them and brought the little children and said, you know, be like that of a little child. Have faith of like that of a little child. So he kind of disciplined them, but, you know, did it in a loving way. But this is what I saw in Facebook. It says, being a Christian doesn't make me better than you are, okay? Being a Christian makes me better than I was. And when we come, when they, you know, when you show someone that when you're ministering to them or sharing the gospel, say, look, I'm not judging your lifestyle. I'm not judging your past. I'm not. Because the thing is this, being a Christian makes me better than who I was. It doesn't make me better than you. It just makes me better than who I was before I met Christ. And when you have that kind of humbleness, when you share the gospel, that individual is going to hear what you got to say. And the thing is, they're going to say, that person's real. What did they go through that they've changed? What caused them to want to change? So that conversation could get deeper and deeper and deeper. And again, what happens? You're developing a relationship. And that's where the trust comes in. And the more that individual trusts you, the more they're going to share. The more they're going to share, the more you get to share of God's word. And you can show them how, where you were at in this muck and mire maybe, and how God brought you out of it. It wasn't an overnight thing, but he brought you out of it. And how you learned to trust God, and how you learned to trust and walk in that faith that he's given you. And so as they see that, then they begin to, they want to see an example so that they can step out and do what God's called them to. And then the next one, that being a Christian isn't about making it a weekly trip to the church, but being a Christian is about being the church. So it's not about when you minister the gospel to someone was, oh, you got to come every Sunday. You got to come every Sunday. I remember hearing a story, and it was a true story, where these young kids were going to stay with this woman, and she went to church every single morning at Mass, every single Sunday, every single day of the. And the first thing she said to these children when she ended up not adopting them. But she, first thing she did was she laid down the law and said, you will come to church with me on 6 o'clock for Mass every single day. That's a must in my house. You know, that's not out of love. That's a command. That's a, you know, it's not out of love. So when we do it out of love, that person will want to come. That person will want to go. So here's the do's when we share the gospel. it's best, of course, I've talked about this before, to build that relationship up. Build a relationship with the non-believer so that they begin to trust you and they see you walk out your faith. And I just kind of shared that a little bit. And that you live a Christ-like example. You know, you can, if you're not practicing what you're preaching, that person's just going to scoff and laugh at you and say, you got to be kidding. This is what you're telling me, but this is what you're doing. So, and when we do, as a, you know, do, when we do share the gospel, we need to not only listen with our ears, but we need to listen with our eyes. I know that sounds strange, but we need, sometimes they're not going to tell you what they're going through, but you might see it in their eyes, the hurt, the loneliness, the fear, the doubt, in their countenance, their insecurities. We will see that with our eyes. We'll sense that. The Holy Spirit will lead us and let us know. Somebody came up to me about a month ago, and it was someone here, I'm not going to mention the name, but that individual said to me, you're going through something, aren't you? And I said, yeah. And she goes, I'm praying for you. Just want you to know I'm praying for you. That's all that was ever said. So either be a believer or a non-believer, when you say something like that to them, you're telling them, I care about you. I care about what you're going through right now. And Lord will lay it on my heart, and I'll have somebody on my heart all week long, and I'll say, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to, you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to pray for. And he was like, pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit. Just pray. And just stand in the gap for them, because they don't know what they're supposed to be praying for. They just know they're going through a valley, and they just don't know what to ask or how to ask. So let me ask you this then this morning. If a believer is in a valley and they themselves don't know what to pray for or how to pray for it, the situation, what do you think a non-believer is going through? What do you think they're dealing with? That fear, that doubt, that insecurity. Young teenagers that have never heard about prayer or a relationship with Christ. They don't even know how to begin. Or Satan's messed with their brain, their emotions so much that they're never going to be good enough. That they're never going to be good enough to even ask for anything from God because they've made such a mess of their life. How many alcoholics, drug addicts, prostitutes, you know, people that have, you know, I heard a story maybe last year sometime about a woman who was the head of a woman's prostitute ring of whatever sort. And she was, you know, years later, like 20, 30 years later, she goes to a healing service. And the last person that should have ever been healed was this woman who had been running this women's prostitute ring for decades. And she gets talked into going because she can hardly walk. She's in a wheelchair. And she goes up and she gets healed. Totally, totally, physically healed. Stands up from her wheelchair, healed. Doesn't it make us think of the woman with the issue of blood? Doesn't it make you think of Rahab who saved the spies? That was her job, but what was her career? She was called to help save the spies. But her career was what? That of a prostitute. The woman at the well. God doesn't look at where we've been or what we've done. He looks at the heart. And he sees that it's empty. He sees that it's hurting. It sees that it's in fear and doubt. And when he looks at the heart, all he wants to do is fill it with his love. But we are his hands and feet. We are his chimes. He wants to use us. Just like the chimes have a message, we have a message. Is our message going to be chimes that are annoying? Or are they going to be chimes that are filled with so much love? And when you do chime, when you do share that message, is it soothing? Is it relaxing? Is it reassuring? Is it encouraging? Is it comforting? That's why I brought these chimes today. That's why I want us to understand that we are those chimes. The other thing that we can do is smile. Smile. Being a Christian should be what? Yeah, we're all going to have valleys. How many of us, I did, I thought when I became a Christian, I'm never going to have a problem ever again. And I found out real shortly after that, that's not so. It's how we take our faith and apply it to that situation. Okay? So, another thing we need to do is avoid judging the person's lifestyle, like I had said. And then we also need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us as we interact with those individuals that are non-believers. And we need to stay focused on the gospel. You know, sometimes we want to give our testimony, and that's good. We need to, but we need to do it in a positive way. Not, oh, I was so beaten up. Satan really had me down there, and I mean, he really had me. No, you don't talk about what Satan did to you. You talk about where you were, but then you need to talk about where you are now and how God brought you out of it. It needs to be in a positive sense, in a positive way. Stay focused on the elements of the gospel. Keep the good news of the gospel simple as another one. Keep the main thing, and lastly, relax, because guess what? God's the one that's in charge. Not you, not me. God is the one that's in charge. You know, some people have asked me, well, what are your numbers at church? You know what? It doesn't bother me. It's never bothered me from the day I came in. I've never come in here and said, oh, we got to get the numbers up. We got to get the numbers up. I'm not concerned about it. I haven't lost any sleep over numbers here, and I never will, because it's not mine to be concerned with. It's God's. I'm behind here doing what he's called me to do. All of us are here. God's called each one of us to do a certain thing. Every one of us know the job or the ministry that God has called us to. I believe every one of you here know that God has called you to this ministry, and he's got a certain thing for you to do. But he doesn't want you to lose sleep over the numbers. He'll bring them in. He will bring them in. So, as long as we share the truth and we be about the Father's business, then again, he's the one that's in charge, not us. And when we share the truth, what are we doing? We're sharing God, our Creator, and Jesus, our Savior. So just like the wind chimes, we have a message to share. And if that message of the gospel is given in love, we do it in love, we speak it in love, it will be pleasing to our ears and to our hearts. And I just ran across this yesterday, and I thought, oh, God, your timing is so good. By the way, it says, God has his own wind chimes. They're called leaves. So as we sit back on our warm, sunny days this summer, and we hear the wind blowing through the trees, know that that is God's wind chimes to us. And he wants us to enjoy them. He wants us to listen to them. But he also wants us to be those kind of chimes, that when we reach out to those that do not believe, the unsaved, those that are lost and don't even know they're lost, ask the Holy Spirit to direct you on what chime to sound like. A soft chime, a bold chime, a soothing chime. Ask the Holy Spirit what kind of chime you're supposed to be, because everyone is different. Some you're going to have to use a bold, go-get-it attitude. And some you're going to have to be subtle and walk in a lot of love and forgiveness. Because some of those people that you're going to share that message with are people that you might have had a bout with or, you know, unforgiveness towards. And wouldn't you know, that'd be just the one that God sends to you that he wants you to minister to. And you're under your breath saying, but I don't like them, Lord. I do not like them. They're hard to get along with. But you might be the chime that God uses for such a time as this, just like Esther. What kind of chime was she? In closing, let's bow our heads. Father, may we be a wind chime that sounds of your love and your mercy to others around us, with the melody message that you have imparted into us. Let it bring encouragement, let it bring hope, let it bring peace, and let it bring love. Lord, help us to be a wind chime Christmas Christian whose grace-filled life makes everything around us look more beautiful. May we reflect Jesus in all that we say and in all that we do to honor you, Father, to honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.